FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is May 30th, 2017. Hope you all had a great Memorial Day weekend. My AC gave out, so it hasn't been an easy one, but there's help on the way, hopefully. And hopefully there's help on the way for the economy, but who knows? You're probably wondering what's going to be in the next 100 days. Is reality going to redawn on the investment class in the United States? Good question. And Jeff Small is with us. You know him well, been on the show many times, president of Arbor Financial, and he likes to say that he teaches retirees the art of financial self-defense. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry, it's great to be back. How you doing down there?
It's a hot one, but we're making it through. But the market's been pretty hot, and then it cools off a bit, and then it goes higher. So hot and cold, hot and cold. What's going to be in the next 100 days?
Well, right now, Kerry, big money has one foot on the gas and one on the brake. So the market's upward momentum is stalled, and volatility really has increased since Trump's healthcare bill failure in late March. And the most telling sign really is the bond market has not dropped proportionally with stocks. And they've really risen since Trump's election. I mean, the 10-year treasury rate is right around 2.3% right now, and nobody expected that to happen. Before the healthcare debacle, it was around 2.5%. And so for me, that's really a clear sign big investors aren't really as optimistic as they appear based strictly on the stock market. They seem to still be playing it safe, so to speak.
Yeah. So obviously rates are dropping. That means the money is flowing into bonds, but there's still some money flowing into the market as well, or it'd be headed lower, right?
Well, the market's kind of hit a peak right now. And so we're in a show me market, but I believe the stock market really is a market that's priced to sell. I mean, honestly, Kerry, we've had valuations, PEs this high over the last 147 years. We've only seen PE ratios this high only three times, 1929, 2000, and today. And at the same time that really has happened, we've never seen such disparity between the rate environment and the stock market valuation.
So is the market staying up just because interest rates are so low and there's no alternative, Jeff? Or is there something we're not seeing?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the first 100 days of the honeymoon with Trump caused a 15% bump. But prior to that, for 2 years, from October of 14 to October of 16, there was no growth in the market. The S&P was up 10 points over 2 years. And so when Trump got reelected, when he became elected, he ended up causing this huge amount of optimism in the markets. And the markets kind of went crazy and brought buyers and frenzied, you know, strategies. And people were buying, of course, the infrastructure stocks. And then it spread to the rest of the market. And now everything is contingent. So the market is saying, look, we're now at a stage where you have to show me some things to get the market to move higher. We have to see tax reform. It has to become tangible. It can't be smoke and mirrors and just talk. We have to see a stimulus package. That has to happen. We have to see Dodd-Frank fixed. That has to happen because that decreases banks' margins by about 6% as a factor on their top and bottom line numbers. So we've got some issues. So now we're in the show me phase. And so if we're not start to see things here, things don't start to get shown, including earnings. If earnings don't start to materialize, then they kind of just eke out a 1% rate of growth, and then the Fed's going to raise rates, it's going to be a different 100 days the next 3 months than the previous 100 days where we saw that 15% rise.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going to happen here? You think stuff's going to start moving in Congress, or the swamp's going to win?
Well, I think politically, you know, there's no doubt that the witch hunt has taken on a new form of inertia, and every political opponent of Trump, including Republicans and independents and Democrats, have jumped on the bandwagon. And so they don't really care much about the economy or the Trump bump or the average Joe who has, you know, money in the market. I mean, the reality is that they would rather destroy Trump and probably destroy the country just to make sure he doesn't get elected because he's a non-politician and they're severely threatened by him. If Trump can weather the storm and get some of these things through, and the GOP can get back onto an agenda that works and they stop acting factionalized with the extremes on both sides, then if they can get some stuff done, then the market's going to say, look, you're showing me some stuff here, and the market can rise. I mean, we could see another 10% rise here from here on out if things start to happen. But if they keep vilifying Trump and everything gets stalled and tax reform talks get stalled to 2018, well, man, I'm telling you, brother, everything hinges on tax reform. That is the linchpin in the market. If tax reform does not happen and they can't get it through and it goes by the way of what they did with Obamacare, forget it. That'll cause the market to not grow and probably there'll be some profit taking. But it's much easier, Kerry, to predict the long-term market than it is the short-term market. So anybody's guess from this point says, look, if we see a cataclysmic effect, we could have a drop of 35 to 70% in the market. 35% brings us back to 1,500 on the S&P where we were back in July of 07. And that's technically where the drop should go. If we have a systemic problem and some type or component of our financial system like we did in 08 and 09, of course, the drop could be much larger. We do have the largest amount of corporate leverage ever in history. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. As earnings may or may not materialize, are these companies going to be able to service their debt? And I would hope so. I really would. I think they'll be able to.
Well, here's the question, though. The Republicans are running the government now. Do you think that their hate or fear of Trump is going to override their desire to be reelected, maintain power?
Well, you know, so far, Trump has been the only politician that was elected that's actually following through on his promises. Because they're, you know, they all try and trick you in the election. And then when they get in there, they do the exact opposite. And so Trump is the only person I've seen in history, economically and politically, that is trying to follow through on his promises. I think the politicians are severely threatened by that. I think that we'll see a massive unseating if he is portrayed potentially as a victim and everybody keeps attacking him. And I see him as a victim at this point. I don't think there's any real tangible traction behind all of these things that are going on. I mean, they're kind of splitting hairs across the board. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the FBI Special Director Mueller here, Special Prosecutor, if he's going to be able to say at the end of the day, look, there's nothing really here. We're splitting hairs. And if that's the case, then you know, I see a massive unseating. If they continue to attack Trump, I also see a massive unseating because there is nobody's working for the benefit of the country. And the 61 million people that voted for Trump see exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going on, that this is a bunch of malarkey, that they're attacking him and they're not putting through his promises when he wants to push through his promises. And he's doing a really good job at honoring his intentions thus far.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, I think if they believe they're going to be reelected as opposing the president of their own party, you know, people are going to see through the fact that they were obstructionists and that they sabotaged his agenda, which I think his agenda is pretty popular. Overall, especially if you're a producer and you see the tax code get, you know, his attempt to redo the tax code, turn it into a rational body of laws rather than an exploitative bunch of gobbledygook that's really intended to protect the powerful and injure the producers. What's going to happen there?
Well, that's the thing, you know. I mean, why is Trump the only one that really is concerned about increasing employment, increasing productivity, increasing labor force participation, increasing GDP, you know, increasing money in circulation, putting Americans first, enforcing the laws on the books as far as immigration goes? You know, why is he the only person that cares about protecting us as well? So I don't understand why we have folks, and I won't go by names, but on both sides of the aisle, kind of showboating, so to speak, and having this overly alarmist situation where they're trying to create this fear that, you know, he's a bad guy and he's influenced by Russia. I mean, that's nothing could be further from the truth. It's pathetic what they're trying to do. And the media is so transparent and so biased at this point that people see right through them. And so I think they've got to be careful. But, I, you know, going back to your original question, I really see a huge unseating at some point, especially with the senators. House of Reps guys, yeah, they'll probably hold their ground. But the senators are the ones that are going to be really, I think we're going to see an increase in Republicans in the Senate if they keep victimizing and coming after Trump the way they're coming after him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that they're doing it at their peril. You know, there's a reason why they called the Republican Party the Party of Stupid.
Yeah, I think they're illustrating that quite well at this point. That, you know, they weren't crazy about Trump in the beginning. You know, he really opened up a six pack of whoop butt on the entire GOP establishment and swept the races in an epic fashion. And some of them are still, you know, filled with poison and jaded. I mean, and, you know, that's the problem that we have. They really haven't fully accepted him, even though his policies, his promises are synonymous with what the GOP vision for the country should be.
Yeah, absolutely. So it just shows you that their agenda is different than what they say it is. And their masters are not people who really care about the country or care about your future, right?
Well, and that was one of the Democrats' biggest problems. They didn't focus on those folks. And so that gap is getting worse. The DNC is still doing the same thing. They're still not focusing on the folks they should focus in on. And the Republicans are acting like they don't exist. So, you know, I really think that everybody in there needs to be fired. And we need to put some people in there to get some stuff done for the benefit of the country. We've got to find a way to increase productivity and increase labor force participation, or we're not going to grow our economy. That's why our corporations have plateaued. So we have a huge shift in the way economics are going to work in the future. And if we don't fix it now, it's going to be too late. And at some point, government's going to be in a position where the Fed's new monetary policy is, hey, let's print up some money and give it to the citizens so we can stimulate our economy. That's what we're going to have to do next, because we've already tried everything else. That's the next thing on the block here.
Yeah, helicopter money. And
pretty much.
I think this is all symbolized here, what's going on with the economy and Congress and all that, Jeff. I'm sure you've been to Lower Manhattan before. You've seen the bull in Lower Broadway, the bull market. And then the mayor of New York, he commissions a statue, a bronze statue to be erected by the bull of Fearless Girl. And like, she's across from Wall Street's charging bull. And that kind of sums up what's happened with business in this country. Is we've got social justice warriors standing in the path of the bull.
Yeah, they've lost touch with what really makes this economy work and what folks really, really need. They need jobs. They need prosperity. They need to find a way to get ahead. They need to find, you know, how do we increase our wages? They need to focus on those things as opposed to let's figure out how we can, you know, engineer society, give everybody all kinds of free stuff, keep them dependent on us. And that's not the country that we were founded on, and that's not the country we want to have in the future. And as we go in that direction, and this last election really was a vindicator of those issues. And so with the presidential election, that is. So I don't see us. I think the people that voted for Trump are not, you know, I think more people are going to get angrier and angrier as this continues to go on. And real policies, real issues aren't put in place to show the markets, show the economy how to grow from here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you are correct. And hopefully somebody's going to come to their senses. Maybe it's time to get rid of Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and they need to fall victim to the populist movement in the country.
Yeah, that might be the case. You know, we have to wait and see. We really need this Russia thing to go away so these folks can get to work and get some stuff done. You know, if they start talking about the Trump administration's talking about getting something tangible in place for review by, you know, August of this year. But now, you know, some of the congressional opponents are saying, well, we can't get tax reform done until 2018. I mean, that's just not acceptable. It just is not acceptable at all. You really have to seriously question what's their intent. Are they working for the people, or what are they working for? And you have to wonder, you know, why is that in place? But there's no doubt that there is, you know, a massive movement up there that is anti-Trump, and it's across party lines, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's causing a bottleneck. So
that it is. Well, I guess we're going to have to see how this shakes out, Jeff. One thing to keep in mind is Trump didn't get where he is today by being a quitter. And I think that he will do everything in his power to get his agenda through and then some.
I believe he will. As long as he can come unscathed, I believe he will. From all of this witch hunt mentality that's up there in D.C. right now.
Yeah, which has not much credibility, but we'll have to see. Jeff, how do we find out more about you? Check out your work?
Well, one of the best places to go is to our website. Folks can reach out to us on our website and ask us questions. They can sign up for our newsletter. They can see videos on the things that we discuss. And the web address is arbor-financial.com, arbor-financial.com.
All right. So go over to Jeff's website, arbor-financial.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there, and you can find out all sorts of information about Jeff and Arbor Financial that you'll find extremely useful. Got any questions for Jeff, myself, on this interview or any others? kl@kerrylutz.com is the email address. You can tweet us. Send a tweet to me at Kerry Lutz, and the Facebook page where we have a lot of entertaining financial stories that we somewhat aggregate is Financial Survival Network. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on. It's always great to have you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Kerry, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.